Good evening, my dear Dhamma brothers and sisters. Today is the 31st of January 2009. We are having our regular meditation class. First of all, I would like to wish all of you a very happy Lunar New Year, Year of the Ox. We just celebrate the New Year's Eve last Sunday, and there were about 2,000 people who come to participate the New Year's Eve, and also a lot of people on the first day of the year. You know that since we left Vietnam, and there are only a few occasions during the year that we able to see each other and to enjoy the time together. And the most important event, and that is our traditional Vietnamese New Year. And even those, you only feel, you only can sense the New Year, the traditional New Year, only when you come to the temple. Even at their home, they still decorate or cleaning the altar and prepare for something in the New Year. But the environment is not as beauty and feel home like when you come back to the temple. And in the tradition, that doesn't matter whether you are Buddhism or not, they have the tradition that when the New Year arrives, and they all go to temple to receive an orange, to receive a red envelope. And orange, in Vietnamese, we call cam. Cam. Cam means sweet. The fruit that tastes sweet, we call cam. Chinese also, that is also from China. So why we receive sweet? Because we wish that for the whole year, everybody can receive lots of things that sweet, that smoothly. And that is why they have lots of sweet stuff, like candies. And they use the winter melon, and they do some sweet meat. You can see lots of sweet stuff. And a very special cake that they used to have, that is the sweet rice, wrapped with the banana leaf, and they steam it. And they have two different shapes, the round one and the square one. The round one stands for the sky, the square one stands for the earth. So again, when the New Year arrives, they would like to extend their gratitude to the earth, the sky, the whole universe, have supported them through the year. So that's why they make that two special kind of cake. Now you still can see the square graph with banana leaf. And the square one, just mung bean, that means green bean paste, and with sweet rice. But the round one, in the sticky rice, they mix coconut milk. So and then they cook for a few hours. So when after that, they can open and you cut it. And a very traditional way to cut this kind of cake is you use the string of it. Okay, you cut Why is that? Because you use the knife to cut. It's very sticky. So it won't come off smoothly and look nice. Then you use the string to cut it. And in Vietnam, people come to the temple. They love to receive some fruits from the temple. And sometimes they pick the flower, the trees, all the plants around the temple's ground. So that's why the temple have to put a lot of signs around. Please do not pick the flowers, you know. And in the one of the another tradition that where they burn the incense. And then after they offer the incense into the incense pot, they will take that home. That means they receive the lucky, the good luck, the fortunate from the temple. This year, the years of the ox, sometimes we call the years of the buffalo. And you know that in Buddhism, the buffalo is often used in the teaching as an example for the mind. Why is that? Because the buffalo always jumping into the other's field. And when the Buddha want to mention that our scattering mind, the elusive mind, the Buddha used as a buffalo. And if you go to the Zen temple, sometimes they will have the 10 portraits about the buffalo boy. They try to tending their buffalo. And at first, the buffalo very black. That means our mind is covered totally with a lot of afflictions, anger, desires, and a lot of unmindful things in your mind. So you have to tending your mind in such a way that each day your buffalo become more white and white until your buffalo completely white. And they, at first, they only have about, up to this moment, nobody know when are the pictures has been established. But lately, few hundred years later, they just know that they only found 6 of them. And then later on, there are some Zen master, they put on some more. They add some more in to make a set of 10. So sometimes they say 10 ways to tending your buffalo. And in Buddhism, when they mention about the buffalo, they are talking about our mind. We are the practitioner. The same as the buffalo boy. Why we need to meditate is to govern, is to tending our buffalo. For instance, when you sit down to meditate for 45 minutes, you try to look after your buffalo to see how is your buffalo working. 5 minutes later, your buffalo start to walk away. You have to use the stick. You have to have the stick in your hand. You have to have the string in your hand. Move your buffalo back. So that is the reason why Zen master, they used to talk about the buffalo a lot. For instance, if the teacher student came to him and say, "Master, can you please tell me what do you do for the whole day?" Well, I didn't do anything. I just tending my buffalo. That's how he answered his student. And he would say, "What do you do with it?" "Nothing. I just sit there and look after. If it starts to run away, I call him back." That's how the master do. Look after that buffalo. So that's why the Buddha said that as a practitioner, we are the same as the buffalo boy. We need to pay attention a lot to our buffalo mind. Sometimes you never see your mind. You cannot see it. You don't know how it works. You just let it do whatever it wants. So in the Zen teachers, they say you don't see the footprint of the buffalo. And first, when we sit down or we're reading the sutra, we are practicing in order to see the footprint of the buffalo. If not, we just let our buffalo do whatever they want. Is that correct? For many years, we have lived in that way. Friday come and say, oh well, you're working too hard. Let's go to the bar, and we go. You're working so hard, let's go to the casino, you go. So that kind of buffalo tells us a lot of things, and we just do it. We are the buffalo boy, but we have no right, we have no power at all to tending that buffalo. So one day the Buddha was sitting with the community of monks. And recently he called bhikkhus. Today I would like to tell you 11 ways that the buffalo boy must take care for his buffalo. And what are they? The very first one. The buffalo boy easily recognizes each buffalo under his care. So the buffalo boy must recognize all the buffalo, how they are. This one is weaker, this one is stronger, this one is nicer, more listening, stuff like that. As a practitioner, the Buddha say, same thing. As a practitioner, we should recognize each of the essential elements of our own body. That means we should recognize that how is this body combined? The earth, the fire, the water, and the heat. We should know exactly all four elements that make, that combine together and make this body possible. When we meditate on this body, and we will see that this body is completely empty. And if we attach, we do not understand the truth that this body is come from the four elements. This body is made by non-body elements. Then we will be suffering. So that means when we have a lot of heat in our body, and that means we also don't feel well. When we have a lot of cold in the body also not well. So that means as a buffalo, we should recognize what's wrong with the body in order to govern, to balance the body. Same thing. As a buffalo boy, the buffalo boy will recognize easily each of the buffalo. The second thing, the buffalo boy will know the characteristics and tendencies of each one. Same thing as a practitioner. We know which action of the body, speech, and mind are worthy and which are not worthy. Like the buffalo boy know very well the characteristics of the buffalo, of his buffalo. And we also the same. We know very clear about our body, our speech, and our mind. When we talk, we should recognize, or we should aware, this is the word that I will speak. And if this kind of words will bring happiness or will make people suffer, we should know it clearly about that. Why? Because all the karma created by the body, the speech, and mind. And that is the reason why when we use the wooden fish to opening the chanting, and over here they invite three bells, and then over here we invite the three wooden fish. Kok, kok, kok. Stand for all the being, living beings. We create the karma by body, speech, and mind. That's why we may fall down in the rhyme of hell, hungry ghost, or animals. Now, we need to transform this suffering, this body, this speech, this mind, by practicing the precepts, the concentration, and the insight. That's why when they offer the incense, they offer three incenses, three sticks of incense. The incenses of precepts, concentration, and insight. So if we do not recognize, if we do not aware of anything when we speak, when we action, or when we think, it's danger. Because sometimes our words may bring a lot of breaking, a lot of harmful for others. So as a practitioner, we should be aware of that. And in order to transform our habit of fast reacting, we have a lot of very, very strong habits, very fast react. When people saying something is not fit with what we expect, we say it right away. We are against right away by action, by speech, by words. So that's why sometimes we never learn anything. Because we respond so quick. We don't listen, we cannot pay attention, we don't have enough patience to sit to listen. And if we are unable to sit and listen, how can we learn? So sitting attentively, stable, in order to listening to, for what? For learning, for transforming, and for increase more power of patience in us. So that kind of buffalo is dangerous too. The buffalo is always react. The third one, the buffalo boy scrub his buffalo clean. Same thing. As a practitioner, we must cleanse our mind and body of desires, attachment, anger, and aversions. Why we do chanting? Why we do meditation? Why we do reciting the Buddha's name? All of that practices to help us to cleanse the desires, the impurities in us. When we sit down to chanting, We purified the body. We read what they say in the sutra. We purify our speech. Our mind pay attention to the words in there. We cleanse the mind. So if the buffalo boy know how to scrub his buffalo to clean, then we are the practitioner. We should learn how to cleanse our mind. There are a lot of attachments. Anything that we learn, we know, we see, we use to attach. And the more we attach, the more we suffer. It doesn't mean the Buddha asked us to detach everything. No. We have the right to use things. But we have the wisdom when we use them. For instance, we have the car, we have a vehicle, and we know that the vehicle is only a material that we use for our transportation. And if you use it a lot, one day it has to be broken. That's normal. So if we sit there, we cry because of the vehicle broken, then we are not the one who understands the truth of life, even this body. We take care for it a lot, right? We shower every day. We give this body good food, good drink. We sleep. We put a lot of good clothes on this body. We try to make this body look younger, healthier. But the truth is, we move to the older. We move to the death each day. That is the truth. No matter what we do for it. Maybe it's temporary look young. Only. Temporary only. But the truth is, we cannot escape this way. We cannot escape the old age. We cannot escape the sickness. We cannot escape the death. So if we attach to that, we expect that we should be looking young all the time, then we will be the one who live with our wrong perception, delusion, and never happy. So while we still have this body, we should make an aspiration, a vow, how to use this body meaningfully. You know that the very first teaching about meditation from the Buddha taught us meditate on the impurity of the body. But many bhikkhus, many monks misunderstand. They meditate on the impurity of the body, and then you go to the kitchen, they use the knife, and they kill themselves. They say, this is the impurity body, so why we need to keep this body? So after that, the Buddha said, he recognized this is not a good way to teach. He changed another way. The Buddha changed another method. Now, the Buddha taught us, meditate on your breath. Breathing in, I know that I'm breathing in. Breathing out, I know I'm breathing out. At first, the Buddha taught I should teach directly way, the straight way, that look directly to your body. It is imperative. But many people misunderstand, they attach to the teaching. They suicide. They kill the body. They say, why we need to keep this impurity body? So the Buddha realized it's danger. So he go back to teach something more gentle. Now you go back meditate. Breathing in long, I know this is my long in breath. Breathing out short, I know this is my out short breath. vipassana. 16 breaths that the Buddha thought. So detachment doesn't mean we refuse a lot, everything. But we understand the truth. So we are no longer attachment. We use it, but no attachment. The fourth way, the buffalo boy loves his buffalo. Same thing. As a practitioner, you should cherish the joy and peace of your practice. Joy and peace is very important in the practice. If you practice and you don't feel any joy, you cannot continue. The same as you live with your loved one, but you don't feel any joy when you be with him or her, how can you stay with him or her? When you go to school, you have no joy to school. You cannot continue. So same thing in the practice. You should, you know, the joyful nourish a lot. Nourish us a lot. So when you meditate, what is the joy during the meditation? The calmness. When you can able to sit quietly, calmness, very calmness, you feel a lot of peace and joy in you. And sometimes you wish that, please don't ring the bell, please don't invite the bell. I enjoy this moment so much. Have you ever feel that way? And if you do, every time when you sit down, you feel so happy when you meditate. That's so. That's why one day a group of people came to the Buddha and asked, Buddha, we are the lay practitioner. We eat 3 meals a day. We have a lot of... we try to decorate our body a lot. Compared to the monks, they eat only 1 meal a day. Their life is so simple. They have no makeup. But how come they look younger than us? The Buddha say, the reason they look younger than you, because they have the joyful on their path. And that is very truth. Let's say if your day is happy, you feel your day is so worthy. And if your day is not happy, you feel that your day is so long. Some people say, a happy day, I feel so short like the firecracker. The discharge of the firecracker. But the unhappy day, I feel long like the whole century. So remember that the joy nourishes us a lot. And if you do something in your daily life, you have no joy, it's hard for you to continue to. Even you volunteering, even you do, you are working for your living. But anything you do, but you have no happy to do, you feel so unhappy when you do it. So, the buffalo boy loves his buffalo. We love our way of practice. We have a lot of joyful on our path. The fifth one, the buffalo boy finds a safe, shallow place in the river for the buffaloes to cross. Same thing, a practitioner relies on the Four Noble Truths to to negotiate this life? What are the Four Noble Truths? Do you remember? The truth of suffering. The reason why we suffer. The cessation and the way that leads to end the suffering. This is what we call the Four Noble Truths. Because these are something very true. And let's talk about the suffering. In the Buddhist explanation, what is the word suffering mean? When something is not satisfied with what you wish, it's called suffering. When something that against what you want, it's suffering. So, two kinds of suffering. Inner suffering, outer suffering. Inner is your body. The environment around us sometimes makes it suffer too. Four kinds of suffering. Old age, sickness, die, and life. Eight kinds of suffering. The one you never want to meet, but you meet him all the time. The one you love dearly, but you need to depart that person. Things you want that never satisfy you. And the body, the mind, unwell, or so well, they are not balanced. They all suffer too. So that means, as a buffalo boy, they know how to find the good way for the buffalo to cross over the river. Then we should use the Four Noble Truths to help us to over the negative things in our life. So when anything that comes, we have the Four Noble Truths as the key to help us to understand the fact of life. When people praising us, do not be so happy. Why? If you're so happy with what they are praising you, one day we will be so suffer if people blaming us. So blaming and praising, as a practitioner, we are able to listen but don't attach. Keep our mind in the balance. And that is a good way to help you to nourish your eternal happiness, your eternal peace. Otherwise, we will be up and down because of praising and blaming, honoring and dishonoring. The sixth way, the buffalo boy finds fresh grass and water for his buffaloes. As the practitioner knows that the four establishments of the mindfulness are the nourishments leading to liberation. If you do not know what are the four establishments, you should find a book that talks about these four things. There are the four ways of meditation. For instance, meditation and full realization on the impurity of the body. That is one thing. Meditation on the body. Full realization on this body. This body is completely impurity. The second meditation. Meditation and full realization on the evils of sensation. our feelings. Even when you feel happy, you feel unhappy, or you feel neutral, they are not real. So, seeing this in order to be liberate from our attachment. Because we used to attach something so happy, we attach. And sometimes lot of things that make us unhappy, we still attach. We remember it all the time. They both no good. Why? Because life is impermanent. Nothing stays permanent, even happiness or suffering. So if you attach to either both, you still suffer. Meditation and full realization on the impermanence of mind and thoughts. Do you agree that our mind, our thoughts, impermanent? Today you like it, tomorrow you dislike. Maybe now you like it. Now when you go downstairs, someone say something you dislike right away. Our mind, our thoughts are impermanent. Change all the time. So that's why we have a lot of divorcing cases. We have a lot of breaking. Why? Because the mind always changes. Maybe at first we say, I love you forever. But what is that word love when it not satisfy you anymore? No longer love. So when we say love, that is only our desire of love. Love combined with desires, only without understanding. And contemplating that all dhammas are without their own nature. There is everything in this universe, this life, we call dhamma. There are two ways to understand the word dhamma, okay? The first Dhamma that we use is the teaching of the Buddha. We also call Dhamma. But every single thing in this life, it should be called Dhamma too. For example, the bell, the temple, the light, the door, the body, the shirt, the cushion, the mat, all of that thing, material things, it's also called Dhamma, or situations. They don't have the nature of it. For instance, you call this is a piece of paper. But when you look deeply, you meditate deeply on this piece of paper, you don't see they don't have any paper element. Just because they have the tree, the fire, the water, enough conditions. Now you temporarily call a piece of paper. But actually, there is not no element called paper. There are a lot of non-elements, of non-paper elements. They come together. Now, temporarily, we call paper. But there is nothing called paper. If you want to know more details about this, you find a book, Four Ways, or we call the Four Establishments, the sutra that the Buddha taught with some commentaries from other teachers. The seventh way. The buffalo boy preserves the field by not overgrazing them. As a practitioner, we careful to preserve the relationship with the nearby community. When we communicate with people around, especially monks and nuns, we always protect. Protect doesn't mean we put the, you know, we try to discriminate. Protect means we protect our feeling, our listening, and our speech. Because if we are not be careful, we may intake a lot of things that interrupt our path, our way. For instance, if you listen too much or you watch a lot of unhealthy TV programs, sometimes it affects your practice a lot. So that means we should be careful when we communicate with people or with things around us. The same as the buffalo know how to find a good field for the buffalo. We should find a good environment for us. If we feel that I am not that healthy, I am not that strong, I am not that power that I can involve in this kind of situation, then we don't have to. Of course, as a bodhisattva, we're willing to step in, okay, go to the hell and help a lot of people in there. But if you are not that yet, you are not that strong yet, we are not that powerful yet, then we should be careful. For instance, we are very new in meditation. And the very basic thing we should do now is contemplating on our breathing. Just pay attention to your breath. When you sit down, focusing on your breathing. Breathing in, you know, this is my in-breath, this is my out-breath. Just do that only. You don't have to follow other people. Meditate on compassion, meditate on, you know, anything else. Why? Because you cannot do anything unless you build a foundation. And what are the foundation of meditation? You are aware of your breathing. You are aware what are you doing in your daily life, in the present moment. The eighth way that the buffalo boy tending his buffalo. As the buffalo boy let the older buffaloes serve as the models for the younger ones. A practitioner, we should depend on the wisdom and experience of our elders. That's very true. In Buddhism, we do not have like a class of monastics. But that doesn't mean we are the group of no organization. Everybody come together and they can do whatever they want. The younger should respect the elder. And the elder have to be a good role model for the younger. Based on the nature of the practice, we are all bhikkhu. For example, I am a bhikkhu. The master is also a bhikkhu. So we are the same level of the practice. But that doesn't mean I should disrespect him because he ordained before me. He learned before me. He was born in the Dharma before me. And I bow him as a teacher to ordain me as a monastic, a novice. That no matter, even I am better than him, I learn more than him. Let's say that. But I should respect the master. The same as in the family. Even our elder brother have no education. He is something wrong with him, but we are the younger brother. We should not, we always respect him as the elder brother. No doubt. No matter how was he. But the reality is, he is elder than you. We respect. Because if you don't respect the elder, who will respect you? Because you are also the elder of someone younger than you. So that is the generation, that is the cause and effect. That is the traditional. So that's why when we come to the service, who ordained first, sit first. Even that person ordained before you just one day, okay, he's still older than you. The same as the twin. The first baby come out only 10 seconds or 1 minute before we count that brother, that girl, that boy as the elder one. Is that correct? We respect the elder. And why is that? That helps you to practice to be humble. As a person in this life, you have no humble. Nobody can get along with you. Nobody feel that they love you. Nobody feel that they want to get along with you and help you. So humble is something very needed in our daily life. So the elder, their job is to be a good role model. The younger, we learn from the elder. Their experience, their views about life. That's why in our practice center, when we want to do something, we always sit down and bring out the matter. So, the elder one, maybe they have more experiences than us. They will tell us what they feel about the situation. We learn from each other that way. The ninth one. The buffalo boy cares for his buffalo wounds. Same thing. As a practitioner, we should watch our six sense of organs, like eyes, nose, ears, tongue, body, and mind. We call the six senses of organ. The eye, the nose, the ears, the tongue, the body, the mind. They are the six windows. If we do not know how to close the windows, we let a lot of things from outside. They fly from those windows. Then we have a messy house. When we look at something, we are not carefully to protect our eyes. We will suffer because of what we look. When you hear something, you don't protect what you hear, you may suffer because of what you hear. So, carefully tending the six senses. So that's why we have the tradition that come to the temple for 1 day retreat. This kind of tradition begin right at the Buddha's time. The lay practitioner came to the Buddha and said, Buddha, we are lay practitioner. How can we have a chance to tending these six senses? The Buddha said, I have the way to help you. Every month, twice a month, or once a month, you come to the temple, attend 1 day retreat. Why? Avoid from what you hear every day. Avoid what you see. Avoid what you do every day. Come here to calm that sixth sense down. That's why we come to the temple. The temple is a good place to help us to practice that. Because we don't have telephone anymore. We have no TV because we have the habit. Pick up the control, tick, 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 tick to find something, nothing, throw the remote control away. Find some CD to hear. Now you come here, even that kind of habit arise, rising in you. But around here, nothing, only bell, only sutra, only Buddha's image. What you do? Now you see Buddha's image. Now you're listening to the bell. Our tongue have the habit of taste. Now you come here, no choice. Only tofu, only vegetables. So we are tending. That's why when we're able to protect that, we're transforming it. We're transforming them. So a day of retreat is very needed. It's very worth. Some Vietnamese people, beside coming to the temple, practicing as a community, with the community, once a month, at home, they do by themselves too. On that day, they make a vow, 1 day of retreat. Take off the phone. No phone call. Nothing. Just meditate, reading, meditate, reading. Sometimes they avoid reading too. Because reading sometimes make your buffalo run. So what you do is meditate or bowing and chanting only. So we are taming our sixth sense so that they do not become lost in dispersion. The tenth way, the buffalo boy protects his buffalo from mosquito bites by building fire to create the smoke. So because the mosquito may bite them, their buffalo, so the buffalo boy know how to put some wood and try to make some fire, create the smoke to avoid mosquitoes. As a practitioner, we use the teaching to become awake, to show those around us how to avoid affliction of body and mind. We are practicing not only for ourselves only, but also for what? We show people around us. So that's very kind. If we see someone who is new coming, we come to them. We make them feel company. They feel, you know, home. They feel welcome. And if anything they don't know, we try to help them. That's why we used to call us friends on the path. We support each other. We support each other. So if you don't see that lady come to the meditation class for a few weeks, and if you do have their phone number, make them a phone call. Say hello to them. What's wrong? Are you feeling well? And that's very warm for that person. So when we learn that someone is sick, we come to visit. Not because, oh, if I don't go, I don't feel all right. But that we feel that the compassionate, the loving kindness, the caring in us. So when we practice for ourselves, we practice for people around us, for our family too. The 11th way, the buffalo boy finds a safe path for the buffaloes to walk. Same thing, a practitioner avoids those paths that lead to desire for fame, wealth, and sexual pleasure. We know that there are some places that is not healthy for us to attend, then we won't attend. There is something that is not healthy for us to watch, we don't watch. Remember, our buffalo is very easily to jump in that kind of field, and we are so weak, we don't have enough strong to call that buffalo back. So the best way now is to taming our buffalo. So these are the 11 ways that the Buddha understand about the buffalo boy, what they do for his buffalo, for the buffalo. And the boy turned to the Buddha, turned to the monks and say, same thing, as a bhikkhu, as a practitioner, we should learn 11 ways to tending our buffalo mind. The Buddha never prepared Dhamma talk. Wherever he goes, he sees something, he come home, he say, this morning I walk on the path, I see that kind of thing, and I have meditated about that. Now I have a teaching for that. I would like to offer you my thinking and my teaching. That's why when you read the sutra, lot of sutra, lot of name of the sutra, lot of titles, very funny. And one day the Buddha teach the Dhamma so good, so well, and Ananda asked the Buddha, tell the Buddha, Buddha, your teaching is so sweet. I feel everything, the more I learn, the more I listen, I feel like a piece of cake that I eat. The more I eat, the more I feel tasty. The Buddha, what is your teaching called? He have no title for that. So why don't you call this is the teaching of the taste of the cake? So the more you practice, the more you feel pleasure. The more you practice, the more you feel joy. The same as you eat a pizza, you eat the crust, you eat the cheese one, you eat the pineapple, you eat every single thing on that piece of pizza, you eat tasty. Same thing as with the Dhamma, with the teaching of the Buddha. The more you learn, the more you practice, the more you feel happy. So because you can see, you can feel, that's why you never step forward, backward from the path. You always move on. Same thing. We are ordained when we were very young. How can you continue up to this moment? Because we have a lot of joyful in our practice. Like yesterday, when we are doing the chanting, I able to see all the novices. Because, lately they have a lot of homework. So some of them attend, some of them cannot. But today they have a PD day, so they have no school. So last night, all of them attend the ceremony, the service. So when I sit and I look down, I can see all of them, and the chanting together, it nourished me a lot. Because I feel like a united, like a family. And the community nourish our practice. So the power of the Sangha is very needed. Thank you so much for your listening. And because this year of the ox, and I would like to expert some of the teaching about the buffalo by the Buddha, and would like to share with you. And I hope that we can learn something from this sutra, and we should apply this teaching more reality in our daily life. And please enjoy your weekend and see you next Friday. And next Friday we are having our sitting meditation and also the precept recitation. Please enjoy the three sounds of the bell.